Well, no, we'll do a Prince tribute at the end of the show. So there we go. Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, it's me, Ewan. I'm here to take you through the week's Macintosh news, all the Apple news, all the phone news, all the iOS, all the iPhone, all the iPad, and the MacBooks that we've got this week that we said were coming last week. Now they're here. Joining me, fantastic panel to start us off this week. Top left, Patrice. Are you on? Are you on a wired connection, mate? Because you're looking a bit.
Bad. I am definitely on a wired connection.
And that bloody sidebar! If you're listening and you work for Skype, lose the sidebar, you bastards! Look, it's back. It's back.
Oh boy.
That's bad.
It's going to be one of those shows, mate. You've been good.
Yeah, I've been busy, but I'm pretty good.
I always wondered whether that door to your right was a front door, but now I can see through outside into the next room. It's not. Is that the casual kitchen in there?
That is the casual kitchen, actually.
Ah, yes. I see. I recognised it. There we go. Yeah. I'm watching too many of your videos that I don't understand because they're all in bloody German. next to him is Matt Cast.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm all right, buddy. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. 11, busy also.
11 days since the Mac Cast. You must be getting the shakes, mate.
The deep
tees.
Don't even tell me. The show notes are a nightmare. That's not helping.
Really? You just got...
Well, yeah, just because there's a lot of stuff to talk about.
Shame you can't knit greenies, really, isn't it? next thing. Doc has got a deadline. He's got a hard out, allegedly.
Oh, hi, welcome to Casual Kitchen. Today we're making Wassermelon aus Ankleiben. What? Oh, sorry. I thought I'll get these. Hello. Welcome to
the show. Was that a Beethoven piece? I can't remember.
Yeah. Duncan Nine.
And you've got the same 3D printer as me.
Yeah.
Are you worried that your 3D print's screwing up? That's not what you're going to get out for.
Bro, did you see yesterday?
Yeah.
I had one explode and it just went everywhere. It was kind of crazy.
We've had one explode while we were at the curry house.
That's what happened. I left. It always works good when I'm sitting there. But if I leave, because I'm like, oh, this is a 4-hour print. I was making a new Apple pen case and I came back and it was like 3D printed spaghetti.
Yeah, no, you need to invest in a Belkin net cam, mate. That's what I've got. Brilliant. I was sitting checking the print last night while I was watching TV at home, and when it started to go awry, it's like, I'm sorry, Don, I've got to go. Just put it on pause for a second. Run up the office, sort it out.
That's a good idea. I have one right above it. I just got to point it down more.
And last but by no means least, Mike T. Rose, where the bloody hell have you been, mate? I hope you got a note from your mum.
I have an excuse from my doctor, a note from my mom. I'm all covered. I've been moving. I moved 3 weeks ago. I have a new house and everything is in boxes and it's all crazy. I finally got my... It took me a week to get my iMac hooked up, only to discover that 10.11.4 had hosed it. So I've been in the pit.
Have you lost any stuff or are you backed up?
My way out.
Have you lost anything or are you backed up?
No, it wasn't. I didn't lose any data. It was just that for my primary user, when I logged in, I couldn't run any applications. I got all the applications are damaged or incomplete, which is a weird gatekeeper issue with this user that has come up before when on system updates. So yeah. I migrated off to a clean El Capitan install, got it working, migrated back. Everybody's fine. But it was just you know, when everything's sort of in chaos and in boxes and the last thing you need is for your technology to F you over. That's what happened. Yeah. Okay. It was very exciting.
Jolly good. And Mark from Hoyer is joining us. Hello, mate. You're in the studio. You're on camera, mate. Smile. Along with Muller. We've had the pre-show curry, and now we're sitting. Muller's been fitted for a new pair of glasses to see if he can manage to not break these.
And I'll be the first in the world.
And Mark's here, done the fitting, he's done the whole iPad thing, so and we'll talk Hoy a bit later on. So,
why do those guys look like before and after?
And Muller has this with
me. No, see, that says it all, Muller. You're assuming you're the after. The fact is that we all know you're the after. But there you go, kids, that's what whiskey does to you.
The middle was a nice touch.
The week in Apple, what's going on? What's been happening? What's the brand new news? We can't not start out without MacBooks.
Pink notebooks.
Brand new MacBooks. Got a one in rose gold, darling. Sorry to those people that are LBGT. Skylake processors, faster graphics, longer battery life, and one in rose gold as well, darling.
That's Mike Rose Gold, by the way.
Micro. That's right. They named the entire color after me.
It's tea rose gold. Intel Core M processor at 1.3 gigahertz. Is this a big enough bump to say wow, or is this, I mean, did we get the molded metal hinges?
I heard that, and I haven't had a chance to go to the store yet, but I've heard that the 1.5, the new processor that's in the 1.5, whatever they call it, mobile, is supposed to be ridiculously fast, but not just in standard processor functions, as you really notice it in integrated graphics function, and about, I think someone said 80% increase in disk read rates.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I was like, what? That's insane. So the overall consensus is that it's about 25% faster with the, you know, bumps that they made so far.
So is there, I mean, I'm going to be playing devil's advocate because I actually really like the new MacBook. The 12-inch MacBook was always something that, the 12-inch Mac that I had, the PowerBook, I always wanted that back. So I like the form factor. Why add 25% to a machine that wasn't powerful enough to start with? Because the 25% isn't making it any better enough, excuse the bad English, to make it worth doing something more powerful on.
Because that's what they get with the M. I mean, that's really their only option for that model if they want to stay fanless and with that size. They've got to go with that processor, and it gives them the battery as well. So it's a nice bump up for that model, but... what I'm getting a little bit frustrated by is all the people who are complaining that it's not enough. And it's because I get it. People want that sexy form factor so that they can do their photography work or their video work. The problem is you're just not going to be able to pull it off with the form factor and how you have to cram the technology in there. It's just, at least right now, it's not really doable in that configuration.
For the people that use a MacBook, for what a MacBook is for, they all love it. For the people that try to force a MacBook to do what a MacBook Pro is for, they all hate it.
Right.
And it's like, there's a reason for that. It's like trying to move, you know, those horse statues you bought at the garage sale in your Fiero. It's not going to work, bro.
The other thing that's happening is everybody's forgetting that Apple still makes a MacBook Air, which is only, in the 11-inch size, it's only like a half pound heavier, and it's like 0.8 pounds heavier on the 13-inch. And it will do all that stuff. It's got a Core i5 processor in it. And so, and it's cheaper. So it's like, if you really want the kind of in-between, if you don't need the full power of a Mac Pro, but the MacBook isn't cutting it for you, look at the MacBook Air. Now, the thing you lose, and I get that this is a pain point for a lot of people, is you lose the Retina display, unfortunately. But you get a lot of bang for your buck with the Air still, and I think people are forgetting that thing is there.
Yeah. I mean, on the other hand, I mean, a lot of people seem to be happy even with the now previous version of the MacBook that wasn't as powerful as the current one is now. So maybe it's a non-issue, or it's only an issue for certain people that,
write tech articles.
Yeah, probably. I'm not even sure about that because I mean there are a lot of people that write tech articles that like really that small form factor and that don't need the power really.
I was just going to say that the speed bumps to the Air, excuse me, to the MacBook are competing with this, the iPad Pro, in terms of mind share. So when you have something that's the same exact size footprint as a MacBook Air, what is causing you to buy something that's got that physical keyboard? Getting more optimization out of this form factor, getting the MacBook to be more performant. I think Adam's point about the fan, you know, you can't really put a hefty processor in there without giving up the fanless, but there's still a market for that, and it's for people who don't want to buy the gigantic, you know, face-crushing iPad.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And you know, it's funny, and this is by no means a sucker to my homie over here, even though we haven't had a whiskey in a couple of months, but I am coming home soon, Mike. It's this machine is designed for the Salesforce-clad people, or, you know, the the people that are just basically using things like, you know, Slack and Evernote and, you know, some form filling process for a day. If you're a road warrior, your real estate guys, your insurance guys, your, you know, pharmaceutical drug salesmen, whatever, like this, it's all perfectly made for these kind of people.
Yeah, I mean, there's a point here from Bronwyn in the chat room who's talking about, is this going to phase out the MacBook Air really soon? And I don't think it will, because the process is different and the function is different and the performance is different. My question in my head has got to be, this smacks a little bit of going back to the Scully days. There's a lot of overlap coming in here. There was never any overlap. You know, you had the Air, which was a small form factor with decent power, but then you had the Pro, which was the Pro, and you know, the MacBook Pro, and then there was distinct barriers between each of these. And now you've got the iPad sliding into the netbook line, the netbook sliding across each other, and I just think it's a messy piece of shit at the moment if you're not careful.
But that is really what the market looks like right now.
Yeah, but why's Apple got to look like it? I'm sorry. Why go back to what? I mean, this is where Scully screwed up.
So here's my theory. What's going to happen here is Apple had to build this machine with the processors that are available today, and they got the best one for the job right now. But we've been hearing for how long that Apple really has a desire to take their processor technology from the iPads and put these into a Mac. I'm going to guess that the MacBook is going to be the first time they do it, because if you look at the, you know, Mike's point about the iPad Pro is interesting. The iPad Pro can edit 4K video, remember, like three streams of it or something like that on in iMovie. So Apple's processors are probably ripe to be the things that bring the kind of power to the form factor that everybody wants right now. I think they're just not ready with those designs yet. So I say give it a year, and I bet you we see the MacBook be the first Mac with an Apple, you know, whatever they're going to call it. I don't know if they'll stick with the A-series naming or give it new naming.
The A10 would be the logical processor to run Mac OS X or Mac OS, whatever it's going to be called next.
Is it name it after a really powerful but slow as hell airplane. you know, to add on to Adam's point, the one thing that I think will be kind of very important to Apple going forward is that right now they're beholden to the processes of Intel and how fast Intel get things together. The sooner they can get that off of their plate where they can, you know, create their own processors and be beholden only to themselves, I think the better for them overall and the better for us overall. Because right now, you remember when the Mac Pro was getting long in a tooth, everybody was like, we need a new Mac Pro. And those of us who pay attention were like, Intel doesn't have anything for us to put in said Mac Pro. So they're not going to go to AMD, and nothing else was available. So we literally were stuck waiting for Nihalums.
We've had the same situation with Skylake now.
Remember the Intel Xenons were kind of a bust when they tried it.
Go ahead, Patrice.
No, I just said Intel failed to deliver, and I mean, Intel's cycles are slowing down. They now switched to, I don't know what the new cycle is called. It's a three-step cycle. So, to be honest, I don't expect big changes in the PC/Mac ecosystem. I mean, my guess is that in 1 or 2 years, the MacBook Air will drop out, and that's about it. Simply because the difference between the MacBook Air and the MacBook Pro and the MacBook will get slimmer as processor technology evolves.
I mean, Mike, you've put in the chat room, you are supposed to talk on the podcast, not talk to the chat room, mate. Intel's laying off 12,000 people. I mean, but they are the de facto processor. I mean, is that just a slowing down of sales market, or is that them looking for efficiencies and better unit price values? And
that's people moving to tablets and phones as their primary computing devices, and Intel doesn't have a really viable solution for those kinds of products.
I mean, if you go by what they said, it's exactly what Adam just cited. Is they are looking post PC at this point. They see the worldwide PC market slowing down, and that includes the Mac market. And that it's the consumer and the business side is going tablet, portable, mobile, and the server side, where there's still a market, but Intel doesn't own it the way they owned the desktop PC market. So they're caught between a rock and a hard place. As Patrice mentioned, their TikTok cycles are slowing down. There's even a perception that Moore's Law itself is starting to hit some buffeting and some aerodynamic drag as you get toward some core physical limits for the silicon technology of today. They can't innovate at the pace they've been innovating, and that's not their fault necessarily. It's a function of where the market is going.
And it's not TikTok Jimmy anymore. Or Warren. I don't know what the new one is called, but it's something different. They have now three steps. So they've even changed that model because it's not working anymore.
But there's
in honor of this week, it should be TikTok and Toke.
Yeah, it's actually TikTok, and now they switched it to process architecture and optimization. But it used to be TikTok. So the last semi-TikTok was 2016, year.
The 2 plus 2 equals 5 rumor of this week is that Apple is switching to Intel chips, though, in the iPhone 7. I don't see that happening.
No, I don't think so.
No, not at all.
No.
Well, okay, but that's Qualcomm shares are down because their chief executive says that a major customer is going to go to a rival.
You're talking about their modem technology.
Oh, right, okay.
Their cell phone chip technology, right?
Yeah.
That could be possible.
Yeah. Okay, mm-hmm. Sorry, I thought that was processors. I hadn't read it properly. There's a surprise. I can edit, don't worry.
Intel has nothing to offer in the mobile space, in the smartphone / tablet space.
CPU space. I mean, people forget they make other kinds of chips.
CPU space.
I mean, Apple's locked into the A9, isn't it, and the A10 and the A series.
Oh yeah. Their processors are smoking. And like I said, I mean, that's why I think the ultimate goal is to get one into a Mac, and that's probably I would be shocked if it doesn't happen next year. And I think it'll go into the MacBook, and then that's when we'll see them, end of life the Air at that point.
Well, what you guys got to remember is right now Skylake is on the talk cycle, right? And then so because Mike mentioned and Patrice mentioned, they're switching to this new thing. Right now on the talk cycle, Skylake was slated for the basically August of 2015, which already happened. So the next one that we're supposed to get, which should come up very soon, is the optimization cycle, but they're calling it semi-talk, and that's Kaby Lake. And then at the second half of 2016, we're going to see Cannon Lake, which is the process side of Skylake. And after that, it goes fully from that moment on to the 10 nanometer new function of process architecture optimization versus the TikTok cycle. So with Intel's own roadmap basically laid out, we're good for at least 2018, 2019. Somewhere in the middle of 2018, Apple's going to go, all right, this is what we bought. You remember we bought this how many years ago? And we finally got this to where we want it. And here it comes. Mm-hmm. And I think that puts it right on about pace for their semiconductor purchase, I believe, was 4 years ago. So by the time this rolls out, it'll be approximately 7 years or 8 years on the button, which is enough time for them to comb out everything, figure out all of the architecture and how it grows from there. So I think the timing is about right. And there's a lot of talk this week about the Air going away. I don't see it, honestly.
No.
But why? I mean, what's the difference between, I mean, a year or two down the line between the Air and the MacBook?
Or the iPad Pro?
Battery life. I mean, that's what it is right now. They just added an extra hour with the new phone.
Right, as well. I mean, I think, Mike's point about why do you need a physical keyboard, certainly with the iPad Pro, I've gone away from a physical keyboard now, and especially with the Notes app that I use, I turn up at meetings and I pull out my iPad Pro and I sit there with the pencil and I make notes, and people are engaged with me because I'm not sat behind this physical curtain, if you like, between us, and they think I'm answering emails rather than making notes about what they're saying. They look at me using an iPad with a pencil and they think I'm making notes about what they're saying, and I am. So,
and you're also going to have better retention of that information. Oddly enough, writing it by hand gives you more, because there's a little disfluency there, it helps you retain that information better, which is so annoying for those of us who hate to write by hand, but apparently it's true.
I write in block caps. Yes.
But when you're taking notes and you're drawing pictures of Pink Floyd album covers, they don't get pissed off?
I don't draw pictures of Pink Floyd. There's only one Pink Floyd album. Three. I'm going to go all the way. my only... Oh, he's been attacked by a cable. Patrice has just been hit by the white
studio's
snake.
Falling down.
Earthquake in Koblenz. No, the only thing that bothers me, and this is like a, there's no indication of this whatsoever, it's just off in the horizon, but I've got Apple in my ears screaming like mad about environment at the moment. They've got the little green twig on top of their Apple, which is just like, oh, give me a break. And then I just got this horrible feeling that USB-C is going to be pushed into every single device now, and it's going to be
yes.
like all the dongles that I've got are gone. And like, you want to go on about how well all your stuff's made and how low arsenic in the glass and all that kind of, no arsenic in the glass, Tim, and then you obsolete 20 million dongles that people are carrying. Now, if you were talking about the fact that you're obsoleting FireWire, because FireWire is our old technology and there's something better coming along, I'm fine with that. But I'm sorry, you know, Thunderbolt is not an old technology where there is something better coming along with USB-C, and to obsolete that would drive me mental. It would piss me off beyond belief.
I look forward to the next year.
Sorry, Tim, but take your environmental contingents and shove them up your ass.
Won't somebody think of the dongles?
You can run Thunderbolt 3 over USB-C.
That's what I just said.
I know, but the thing is you guys are missing the point. Ewan's saying he doesn't want the dongles. But I'm so looking forward to the next year.
I've already got the dongles. I don't want to buy more dongles, and I don't want you to obsolete the dongles I've got and create waste.
It's going to happen.
Prepare yourself. I'm fine with it as much as I need my FireWire interface for the audio stuff in the studio, I can get why I don't have FireWire on my laptop anymore, and it really is a wasted space. And well done, Apple. You were ahead of your time. But this is not it. And I'm sorry, if you do that, Tim, you're going to get a lot of shit off the environmental lobby.
But why is it not it, though? I'm just curious.
It's not it because it's not they're not replacing an obsolete technology or a dying technology. There is nothing wrong with Thunderbolt as an interface. They're just deciding that they want to walk away from it and go to USB-C and get more people to buy more dongles because it makes more churn of their
economy. I think you've got the reasoning wrong, but it's not so they can sell more dongles. Too. It's so that they can create thinner devices and standardize on a single connector.
I'm sorry.
I mean, ultimately, in the long run, I think if you added up the budget for all the dongles they sell,
it's a tiny little blip in the billions of dollars they make.
It's a massive amount of waste environmentally for something that's not obsolete. That's my point.
Yeah, but I mean, honestly, how many people are switching or are throwing away those dongles? I mean, eventually, yes, but...
The one thing I can say about that stuff that's out there. I mean, to Adam's point, there was a very good reason to move away from the 30-pin connector to the Lightning connector.
Very good.
Even though it made everybody's life miserable. And from a power and simplicity perspective, there's a pretty good reason to move toward USB-C if they can. But the fact that there is a generation of dongles that gets obsoleted, you know, obviously they don't think too much about it because they did that. You know, they had a good enough reason to do it for 30-pin. They did it. People complained, but people got over it.
Yeah. Well, the thing to me about the dongle situation, and also even for the computer situation, from a protection standpoint, the less holes you have in the side of the computer, the better it is just for overall safety of the computer. But then if you add up, like, people who buy computers and actually end up buying all these dongles, like, I run into people all the time that come in somewhere, and that's us. Like, we all have that kit. But I know a whole bunch of people that even have MacBook Airs that never bought the Ethernet dongle. And I was like, you've never hardwired your computer. And it's like a four-year-old Air. And they're like, no, I didn't think I needed to because there's always Wi-Fi. So like, to many people, not us, they don't even think about these dongles because they never use them because they don't have anything to connect to it that requires that. It's pretty much us, which also leads me to believe that there's not enough of them to make it a financial thing for all of the haters out there. Mostly us tech people go, Apple's in it because they want me to buy another $30 dongle. I don't think they make enough on that, honestly.
I think there's a certain point as well where, you know, the weight and if you look at the current Air, it's pretty light at 13 inches. It's not bad at all. The MacBook is perfectly fine at the size that it is. Yes, Apple, yes, we want something thinner. Fair enough. But I've stopped wanting something thinner. I mean, you know, you look at the weight and the thickness of my iPhone 6 Plus. I don't know that I'd seriously hold on to anything that was any smaller and lighter than that. It's step away, because at some point I'm going to hit return on the keyboard and break the frigging thing in half.
Yeah.
To be honest, I'm almost at the same point with my MacBook. I mean, the current generation Retina MacBooks, for me, they are small enough.
Yeah. Step away from the thinness, Apple. Put down the thinness and walk away.
Tell that to the chick. What's her name? Turlington.
is that a loaded thinness before me? That was a supermodel joke, and that's really in bad taste. WWDCs are coming. It's the only keynote that you know's happening. And when? June 13th to 17th, Moscone West Convention Center in San Francisco. It's been there for the last 10 years, and it's going to be there for another 10 years.
Oh, they need to move it out. Did you see Gruber's post about hotel rooms prices?
Yeah.
Yeah.
$400 a night.
Crazy.
Where are they going to move it out to then? Boston?
I don't know. Someplace cheaper.
I would like to see them go to somewhere like Phoenix or wherever where it's just cheap in general.
Vegas.
Vegas would suck, but in the same Austin. Token, it'd be awesome.
WWDC with strippers. not the San Francisco short from Montreal.
Like that's not happening in San Francisco.
I didn't see it while I was at Macworld. And that's for me to go on a foreign trip and not see a stripper in 10 days, that's pretty good. Did I just say that out loud?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
Wait, you saw me. I was there.
You were there with your wife, weren't you?
Easy turbo.
I'd marry that girl.
Easy turbo.
Full rundown of what developers can expect. 1,000 Apple engineers there to support, access to the latest innovations, opportunity to connect with thousands of fellow iOS users and developers, and a series of get-togethers for attendees. There's loads and loads of stuff going on. As there always is, there is a complete lottery once again for tickets.
Yeah. That's another reason to find a new venue. They probably could make it bigger so that they can include more developers. Although I think part of the problem is they don't want to limit the access to the Apple people that are there. Yeah. So the size is kept small, I think, partly for a reason.
What they need to
On the other hand, they have so many engineers now. I don't think it would matter whether it's 1,000 engineers or 2,000 or 3.
What they need to do is they need to network, right? Because it's off season, they need to network all the football stadiums across America together, so that they can run all of the events at all of the football stadiums around the US.
Bro, that's actually pretty genius. I'm not even cracking jokes. That would be awesome if you could go to a stadium and like sit. In Philadelphia, they have this screen. I don't know what people watch because the Eagles suck, but they have this screen that's like a mile long. It's massive what's that thing called? Lincoln Insurance Stadium. That would be awesome to watch keynotes on that thing.
Yeah. Mm. There's nothing stopping them doing that. And they could sell tickets for it, and they'd sell them tenfold.
They have those new screen walls in all the in the new designed Apple stores, that Johnny Ive massive thing.
You can't get, you'd never get any, too many frigging customers in Apple stores. It's not going to work.
Point.
In a way, there's a certain thing about being there in meet space, but the last couple of years they've done really good with the ability to kind of interact and watch remotely. Like I watched a lot of the stuff last year, you know, have it on in the background while I'm running the engraver. Yeah. So I mean, I'm glad to be a part of the program. $1,600 is nothing for a conference for most things, but the thing is San Francisco has got really, really, really smart, and it's funny how even from Macworld days, you know, the rooms that would go up to above $300, you can go anytime that's not Macworld and get that same room for $51. So that's it's always kind of crazy, and unless you're really good at your Airbnb game, like it's like beginning it's not worth the trip because of the other stuff. The conference itself is a bang for the buck. It can't be topped, but the other stuff that goes along with it, like accommodations and whatnot, is just insane.
But if you pay almost twice as much as the conference ticket just for getting there for a couple of days, I'm not so sure it's really worth it, and I think that's an issue.
One of the things the app economy and in-app purchases have happened, though, is they've allowed certain companies to just grow so fast and so big that they can afford to come no matter what Apple does to it. Mm-hmm. And like, I'll give you a prime example. I remember the Macworld, the first one that I got to meet Mike in person was the first coming out party for the guys at Riedel. It was just Igor and Dennis, just two little brothers doing their thing. And, you know, there was kind of just those two. And then the next year, it was 10 of them. And the next year, it's 40 of them. And now they're like 300 people deep. So we literally watched this app company grow from just two dorky brothers standing around, you know, trying to get a moment to speak to us, to they're one of the dominating power forces in productivity apps. And then so the one thing that's really cool about WWDC and the Apple space in general is it allowed for companies like that to happen. But now everyone would look at them like, oh, you guys got to give space to the little guys. And I don't even know if that's a fair statement. I think there should be a better way to make it more accessible. And I like Ewan's idea, as crazy as it sounds. It could be basketball if its footballs are too big. But there's definitely a way to network this all together and make it happen.
Yeah.
Yep.
Did you see?
I think it's over now. But a bunch of conferences had basically sales because of this announcement and said, "Hey, instead of going to WWDC and paying an insane amount of money, visit our conference."
What happened to the side conferences now? Is AltConf is still going strong during WWDC, and I know a lot of people that just go for that.
And that's free. Did they get dates for AltConf 2016 yet?
Did they get a license for it as well? Because that was the big issue last year.
Yeah, they got in trouble, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking it up right now.
They haven't updated yet. 1 week left to submit talks. So the call for speakers is out. Mm-hmm. And they're saying it's going to be held in downtown San Francisco alongside WWDC. So it's happening.
Cool.
I'll throw it in the chat.
They only got in trouble, right, because they were live streaming the WWDC sessions or something like that, right? Didn't they have a room off to the side and they were doing something like that? That's what I'm trying to just go off memory.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that what the objection was?
Yeah. I think so, yeah. And somehow they sorted it out.
They had some pretty cool stuff, though, the last time, you know. You had everybody there from Facebook to, you know, Capital One, GitHub, Greg Reyes, my homie from Reyes Labs, who teaches phone gap stuff. Like, they come, like, that conference was really good from the people that I talked to that went. But, yeah, I was just curious as if they would still be able to keep going. Oh, God. I just miss our conference. Never mind the rest of this crap.
What comes to the badge, mate?
Yeah, it's in July, and unfortunately, it's the same time I have to go to home. I have to go to the East Coast for my sister's getting married again to the same guy 25 years later.
What?
Wow!
I don't know why people do that crap.
I hope she's not listening,
but that's the stupidest thing ever. Like, remarry the person you married because it's working.
that's as screwed up as let's have a baby to stay together.
Yes.
Yeah. But people do that here. They renew their vows.
You don't want her to tune in.
I'm like, you're not supposed to renew something that says ever after, dummies. You let marketing people sucker you into yet another expensive party for nothing. Okay. Sorry.
So not that you feel strongly about this then, Doc.
No, I would rather see that money wasted on buying a place in Crooklyn next to Mike.
Beer and you'd rather see that money wasted on beer and roasted meat.
Exactly. I had some last night.
Wasted is not the right term there. That's productive use of it. But
no, he meant wasted as in a part underneath your belly button.
we can take the Mac show and work it into the Doc Therapy show as an add-on, but I think that, you know, whenever you have a family member who's having a big celebration, you try to find that part of yourself that's excited about it. But sometimes it's not so easy.
The most excited thing I am about it is that once I fly 12 hours all the way to the coast, I will find some time in my schedule to go to Flatiron Grill with Mike and put back some whiskeys. That's about the most important part.
We're down for that.
Excellent. And my family members can cook, so I'll have good eats for like a week and a half. But yeah.
If you fancy coming to the Bash, it's 22nd, 23rd of July. 22nd for the curry at the Kismet. It is the best curry that you will eat. And then on the 23rd, it's the Bash all day. Loads and loads of fun. Loads and loads of games. The World Card Cutting Championships. I kid you not. They are the attraction of those. Last year, I had over 50 people watch me on Periscope do the draw for the World Card Cutting Championships. That's how much it matters. It is officially recognised now, so there we go. And what we're looking to this year is we're going to try and get an adult to win it, because so far it's only been won by the kids, and it's not been fixed for that either. So there's loads and loads of fun. Go to britishtennetwork.com/bash tickets, and you can reserve your ticket. £10 deposit for the curry, and then you get your deposit back against the bill, though. And the bash is £20 per person. Kids go free to the bash, but I need a £10 deposit off them for the curry, unfortunately, but they don't pay any more. That's it. So the bar bill gets split between the rest of us, and the kids get theirs for under a tenner. So there we go. Brilliant. It's the best £30 you'll ever spend, says Batwinch. And she spent it twice with her husband. There we go. She's already bought her bash tickets. If you go to look for hotels in the B36 region of Birmingham, and there's one right over the road, a Travel Lodge. I think there's a couple of rooms left. You should get them fairly cheap. Batwing's got hers for £23 a night for two of them. So
nice.
Well worth it.
Sorry.
Go on.
I'm just thinking of something you told me recently about that hotel.
Yeah, you're the only animal in the bed. That's all that matters. well, maybe. I don't know. Other stories. Is there anything else at WWDC that we're really hoping for? Are we going to get a new watch? Are we going to get new MacBook Pros?
MacBook Pros.
New Mac Pro?
No. Well, yeah, maybe. But they won't be announced.
No. You don't think so?
They'll just happen.
So you don't think there's going to be an announcement of kit?
They don't announce hardware at WWDC, generally. I think the one exception was the watch. Or not the watch.
No. The watch was in September. They sometimes announce MacBook Pros or even the Mac Pro.
They
something.
Have announced hardware. I had an argument with a bloke that used to come on the shows, and in the end, I had to tell him he was a tosser and piss off because he said to me, "They've never done that." And then I just quoted
It's not a never. They rarely do.
The Retina MacBook, for example, MacBook Pro, for example.
Well, when he talked about it, I said, "No, they've done it for the last 3 years." They had.
Did they do it last year?
I had this argument 2 years ago.
What was the, Okay.
There's always some reference to hardware. Because I mean, the thing is, who's going to buy a Mac Pro? The entire conference and the entire listenership of that keynote are Mac Pro users and MacBook Pro users, aren't they?
Yep.
True.
Yeah, I'm hoping for some major news about macOS or Mac OS 10 or whatever. I hope it will be called macOS. Other than that, I mean, iOS, macOS, all the software stuff. That's really what this conference is about.
They're going to get rid of the numbers, and then Ferengi's going to tell us that it's all called one thing now, and he's going to tell us that they haven't fixed contacts, mail, and
they've done nothing.
And address. No. They've done nothing. Mike's shaking his head like, what is this boy? This
I just never thought of a Craig Ferengi. I just now I'll never not be able to think
he's
of it.
He's head of mergers and acquisitions, mate. He's Ferengi. Yeah, he's Craig
Ferengi. It fits. The rules of acquisition.
The rules of acquisition, yeah. There we go. It's Craig Ferengi. apparently, all is not quiet on the Apple iCloud front. According to a story behind a paywall, it says technical problems have plagued iCloud and iTunes. I would have thought they could have put a time.
I didn't notice.
They could have put a time reference on that because it's like always. whilst at least one key engineer manager is said to have departed the company over an ongoing conflict.
One out of I don't know how many.
Yeah,
thousand.
But there's also the talks with the Apple car talks with Daimler and BMW fell through over leadership issues as well and iCloud.
And well, that was more about customer data, right?
We've got another concept fridge as well this week. There we go. It's a little bit better than the one from last week, but it's still not great. No, so I mean, so what's the unrest with iCloud and Siri?
Has anybody here worked in IT before?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. You've just answered your question.
Well, no, you'd have thought that would be a prerequisite to getting on the British Tech Network, but apparently it's not.
So if you've ever worked in IT, just, you know, arguments and conflicts over over technology and how to implement things and how we're going to roll things out. And all of this stuff is, politics. It's a constant battle. I mean, it's just part of the job.
Yeah, I mean, Deep Pan's put the correct comment in the chat room, which has made it way less funny. But a conflict over bringing iCloud in-house is what the problem is. Except he's an AWS and Azure.
And that's a classic one in IT. Do you outsource or do you do it in-house?
Yes.
And you get entrenched camps of people on both sides, you know?
Yeah. I fight with this almost every day. So
I mean, the one thing that I've got limited experience of this kind of stuff, but the one thing that seems to always dog these kind of projects is moving goalposts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a massive problem if strategically the company believes that being on Amazon Web Services is not in its long-term interest, then that changes the landscape. It changes the overall, you know, set of goals and set of strategic goals that Apple's working with. But it is probably the hardest thing to do. It's very, very difficult to extract your operations from that infrastructure, from that ecosystem that they're built in. I mean, as much as people complain about being stuck in Apple's iTunes ecosystem or App Store ecosystem as consumers, now take that to Apple and say, okay, Apple delivers all this functionality around its devices and around its products based on services running on Amazon's cloud. And if Apple doesn't want to be in Amazon's cloud anymore, pulling that out is like extracting, it's like taking out your wisdom teeth while riding a unicycle backwards. It's really hard.
I have to disagree to a certain point. I would say it's technically relatively easy to do it. To just extract it, but to do it while it's running and to keep it reliable and to have everything running the way it is before, that is the hard part. Doing it,
they can just shut down, you know, iTunes for the weekend. Of course, yes, then it would be much simpler. But they can't do that. If you read,
that's the problem.
Wired, there's a great piece in Wired about Dropbox's migration off of AWS onto their own stack. And that is the core of the problem, is doing it while you are keeping the service running and consistent.
And making it reliable, because you're pushing it to a new stack, and a new stack or a new set of issues might arise, because now you're on probably a different, I don't know, different server or something, a different type of server. So there is, and you don't want that, because the minute, especially with iCloud, the minute it fails, people.
That's it.
People start.
The amount of eyeballs on it is the even bigger problem for Apple. I mean, if you're a smaller company and, you know, you don't have as many users or as many critical services, or, you know, you're not the largest tech company in the world that everybody is watching and just waiting for a screw up to happen, you know, the amount of pressure that would be on their engineering team, that's also adding to the boiling over effect, and I'm sure the stress levels that are going on within that team.
Mm-hmm. And what you're talking about, two products that don't really work particularly brilliantly either.
Right, but if you screw it up, I mean, that could be career ending at Apple, plus no one might hire you because of it.
In my disciplinary hearing there, I go, define screw it up.
When you say screw,
no.
Exactly what you mean.
But it depends how you define the word is.
Mm-hmm. Right.
To be honest, I mean, aside from transparency issues as a developer with iCloud, it seems to be working now. I mean, it took a couple of years to get to this point, but I would say no major issues, at least now.
They disagree. Apparently, according to the story. Last story then, iPhone hack answered leaked questions about San Bernardino attack, but there was no new leads. Well, there's a surprise. So they managed to get into the phone, and the FBI have confirmed that they got absolutely sweet Fanny Adams from it.
Yeah, and then I was saying that the whole time, there's nothing on the phone. All the people that worked there who didn't get, you know, harmed in any way all said that it's just the core of their group. Nobody put stuff on the phone because they could get it taken away from and checked at any time. So it was literally used as a straight up work phone. And, you know, survivors, spouses said that, people who were, you know, who made it through said that. And that was brought up very early on in the case. But I said all that posturing was
Hang on.
And there's still cases going on.
I'll get
too,
back to something that Mueller said. You know, hang on, 14 people have died here. Due diligence decides that they have to do this.
Yeah.
And I think that's the one thing that's, you know, in all the ridicule that's going to throw around, I don't know that necessarily anyone believed it, including the FBI, that they were going to get anything from it. I mean, lo and behold, a terrorist who didn't store his terrorist activities on his corporate phone. Wow, that's not going to happen, is it? But you know, the due diligence of the process that they are entrusted with says they had to try and get into it. So let's not...
No, and I agree with that full-heartedly. It's the posturing that they did to try to get their overall goal, which is getting rid of that kind of encryption. And... even so, like just in the court case a couple of days ago, like they're still going on, you know, at the last hearing, which was, I believe, 3 days ago, they're still trying to get them to like put in this quote unquote backdoor for the good guys. So it was just all the unnecessary posturing to get your political thing done when it just wasn't worth it.
I just thought you guys might like this because there was a comment made this morning in the Slack room. If you want to get into the Slack room, send me an email to britishtentnetwork@gmail.com saying, little pig, let me in and give me your email address and I'll let you in the Slack room. There's a whole pile of us in there that shoot the breeze in the mornings. There was a beautiful one this morning. I won't say who it is, but he said, apparently, you've got to be aware because a security specialist at a certain bank has told me that Apple Pay, if someone steals your phone, they could use it to buy stuff. Honest.
Yes.
What? If they stole your phone and your thumb, they could use it to buy stuff.
And it's going to be a live thumb. They can't steal a dead thumb. So I've put that shouldn't be possible. And what they put, the contact someone said that they could steal Apple Pay, enable phones, and use it to purchase items somehow bypassing the fingerprint technology. To which I replied, if they could, then there's a DA in New York who's got a couple of contract jobs for them, I think.
Yeah, there you go.
There we go. This podcast and all of these is brought to you by UK2.net. We're all about people that want to stick with us. We're all about people who want to carry on supporting us and those that see faith in us. And UK2 are one of those people. We really love being with them. We're with them for another year, guaranteed, as long as we don't overfill the server. We've had a bit of trouble with disk space this week. We've got rid of some old stuff that we had for developing usage and that kind of stuff. UK2 have been with us for 8 years. They're going to be with us for another year, guaranteed 9. They've looked after us when we had nothing to offer them, and they have been absolutely fantastic. If you've got anything for the web, you know, you're going to go, well, okay, number one reason, look after UK2 because they look after us. But go to UK2 because actually they're a really good firm. They're really decent. Their customer services are superb, and they're a nice bunch of people who care about the UK market and British tech network as well. So please check him out. Go to britishtechnetwork.com/sponsors to get the links through, or go to and the offer codes as well, and go to britishtechnetwork.com/UK2 if you want to sign into your account, and that shows that you're coming back. And whatever you're doing, next time you send a tweet out, just take the time to go, dear at UK2, thanks for supporting at British Tech. And that'll mean the world to them, and it'll mean the world to me and everyone else around BTN. And there's a lot of people. There's me that sits here every week and shoots the breeze with these guys. But there's Paul Wheatley doing the Gamer Show, and the Pocket Show will come back at some point when his contract's carting down. And we've got a load of people, Anders, Shad, and Righty Boy, and they do tons of stuff behind the scenes as well as to keep the servers running. Anders has had a busy week this week keeping the servers up and running with Wheaters. So please support UK2 because they support us. And the other people's support is Hoya. And Hoya are here with us. Mark. Mark is one of the key people at Hoya who's been very kind. He's brought Mueller some top loaders. He hasn't brought him the Ronnie Craze that are these ones. He's bought us some more that are a bit more continental, unquote. Because Mueller managed to break his old set. A bit ham-fisted. Hoya's got some great technology. I went over to the eye exhibition at the NEC last week to see Mark and the boys, and they've got this like a VR thing with Hoya lenses in the back end. They can put your prescription in, and then they can show you what the lens that you've chosen looks like and the amount of dithering and distortion that there is. Not distortion, that's the wrong word. You know, where you get a what's the word I'm looking for, Mark?
Soft focus.
the soft focus elements of your graduated lenses, and they can show you exactly what it's going to look like and show you where the areas vary between the different types of lenses that you've chosen, and also with competitors' lenses. And we were talking to a guy this week, and he said, oh, so I went to Specsavers and they did the whole iPad thing, but apparently the context of that is perhaps not the same as the Hoya service that they offer. And the lenses, I mean, the reason that Hoya sent me a set of glasses to review was because of the fact I complained that I got some standard lenses from my optician over the road and my iPhone looked like it was curved when I got the damn thing back. That doesn't happen with these. They are absolutely superb. And the parallel is right there, because these are like the Macintosh, if you like, of eyewear. They're not the cheapest, but they are by a long way the best. So check out the Hoya eyewear. Go to podcasts@hoya.co.uk or podcast@hoya.co.uk. Send a message through and just say, I just want to have a go at these. Where can I go? And Mark will pick it up, and the team there will say, go here, try these. And Dan Sumption, who's one of the guys who's in the Slack room, who's got in contact with Mark this week. And Mark said, okay, so I'll give you a call when the local person that deals with Hoya is there at your local optician's, and we'll make sure all the shiz is there, and you just walk in and we'll assess you out. And if you don't like it, fine, that's okay, walk on, it's not a problem. But there's no obligation to quick have a go and see what Hoya can offer to you, because it is pretty impressive, I have to say. I did like that. It's one of the few times I've actually walked in something that said, oh, we've got some new VR stuff, and I've actually gone, okay, and actually I've been impressed when I've walked away afterwards. There's not many of those, I have to say. Magic Man's wearing his in the chat room. He says, 6 months with my Hoya glasses, and they are brilliant. And they are brilliant because his prescription is like he's wearing a pair of Corona bottles. There you go. And if you're old enough to remember Corona, then you know what I'm talking about. Right, who's got a cool thing for us? Patrice, start us off, old boy.
Yeah, I got something. It was hard this week because I really didn't do much. I was so busy. But I picked one of my favorite podcasts. I'm forgetting it. One of the
You don't have to do this, Patrice. I don't appreciate have to do this? It, but you really don't.
No, Mission Lock. That was the one.
Oh, crap.
Mission Lock is really
that's
great
you
one.
Off the Christmas card list.
It's so awkward.
No Christmas card for Patrice.
No Christmas card for me? Damn it. I really like your show, Adam, but Mission Doc is really great. I'm a huge Star Trek fan, and they are going through every single Star Trek episode ever. They are somewhere in the middle of The Next Generation right now, and I think it will probably run for the next 5 or 10 years. It's produced by Rod Roddenberry, so it's really, I would say, almost official. I think they've gotten even better over time, although they were really great at the beginning. But it's just enjoyable to even listen to the mediocre Star Trek episodes that definitely existed.
Mate, you're going to get mail on that.
Hey, yeah, I still love it. It's just, I mean, it's...
Next Generation was, I mean, I remember growing up looking at reruns of original Star Trek on BBC Two on a Tuesday night. But really, the new Star Trek series that I lived with was Next Generation. That's my kind of, I was old enough. I was probably about 13, I think, when it started, 12, 13, something like that. Mm-hmm. It was good. Did you listen to the Nerdist podcast this week? They've got Patrick Stewart on. And it's a lovely, lovely interview. Really, really good. Oh, it's brilliant. Really good.
Patrick Stewart's
hilarious on it. Absolutely excellent. So check that out as well. I'm a big Trekkie fan. I'm not a Trekker. I'm not kind of like episode such and such, Dying Lights, etc., etc. 12th minute in, kind of know everything guy. But I do like watching it. And I've got to say, Star Trek, Star Wars, Star Trek every time. Stuffy Star Wars, mate.
Yes, yes. There's another great Star Trek podcast called Random Trek with Scott McNulty, which is also very, very funny because he randomly jumps through Star Trek episodes and has random guests.
I only care if Jim shot first.
I was privileged to be an early guest on Random Trek. It's a lot of fun.
Oh,
So I highly recommend it.
Yeah, no. I pull my eye teeth out to have a go on that. Send him a message, say Ewan's interested.
Yeah, me too.
Got on it.
There's a queue.
Done.
Adam, where are you? Christ, I'm ahead of myself. I'm missing you out yet again.
What's my pick?
What's your cool thing? Because apparently you've been guarding this closely. You wouldn't tell us what it was before, in case anyone else.
Well, first let me second Patrice's pick, because that's Ken Ray's podcast and Rod's podcast, and yeah, Rod Murray is behind it. I know both those guys, and they're awesome. So people should definitely check it out. But my pick is Steve the Dinosaur. I think I put this in the Slack room. It is a game, a little simple game that you can load on your iPhone, but the key about it is you play it in Notification Center. So you go into the Today section after you download the app. It's free. You enable it as a widget, and now you have this little, it's kind of like an Endless Runner style game, your little dinosaur. It's got 8-bit kind of graphics, and you tap and you see how far you can get jumping over little, I think they're cactuses. And you see how, and it's just a simple little game that you can have on your phone, you know, standing in line, standing around, you got a couple seconds you need to kill. You don't even have to do anything other than open up Notification Center, and it's right there. And it does have some in-app purchases for some different other kinds of themes. It's all the same basic gameplay, but they have like Ninja Turtle designs and a little lion design. And there's also a button in there, the developer, you can suggest other themes you want him to build. And those are like 99 cents a piece. But I'm also kind of picking it because in the past, this kind of thing has gotten pulled by Apple for violating some sort of thing that they decide it violates. So if you're interested at all, you might want to grab it now before they, but they haven't pulled it down. It's been up a couple days. So it looks like it may be here to stay.
Supposed to run within the notifications.
Huh?
Is it because it's not supposed to run in the notifications zone?
They pulled other games that run inside notifications. I think it has to do with, depends on how much processor it sort of uses up. I think as long as it's under a certain threshold, they might let it through, but who knows? Anyway, it's a silly, fun little thing, and it's just it's the novelty of it, I think, is worth just checking out, if nothing else. But it's fun. I'm going to keep it on there, and I've been playing on it.
It looks good. Yeah. If Apple get rid of it, are you going to be able to keep it?
Typically, yeah, they don't shut them down. They just pull it off the App Store, and as long as you have it, then it's in your purchase for forever. I have some apps that have been pulled years ago that I still have. So.
Muller's suggesting that Patrice knows way too much about Klingons.
No. What?
I said his mother had a smooth forehead, and he said thank you.
I can't say this, actually, but there's actually a person that I see regularly, occasionally, around the streets where I am, and they're a female, unfortunately, but they look like they should have been a Klingon. They just haven't got the wrinkles on their foreheads.
Maybe
I'm going to predict if anybody on this panel actually can speak Klingon, it might be Mike.
Kapluk.
I cannot actually speak Klingon, but many years ago, I was responsible for finding someone who could translate Hamlet's Alas, Poor Yorick soliloquy back into the original Klingon for a feature in the Entertainment Weekly Star Trek special issue back in like 1995.
There was a guy I used to work with who was a real Trekker. He was really into it, and he could name the episodes and the series and that kind of stuff. And he was part of like a coven. I don't know what they call a collection. they had war uniforms, and he said, "Do you want to come over? You're into Star Trek, come over." And I'm like, "Yeah, that'd be cool. I'll come over." And I thought it was going to be like beer, pizza, you know, chili or something like that, chit-chat and that kind of stuff. There was people turned up in uniforms. There was one bloke sat in the corner who reckoned, I'm sure, that the 1701D was coming back for him and all that kind of stuff. And I was just like, I'm scared. I'm getting out of here. It was too serious. Mike, your video's frozen. I don't know why.
My laptop has crashed, but my audio is ticking along, so I'll stick it out as long as it does.
It's not a flattering shot, I have to say, but it's not the worst.
Looks very smart.
It's not the worst. Doc, what have you got for us, man?
Okay, so It's funny because I alluded to it earlier, but I didn't mean to. It had nothing to do with my pick. I am going to pick the new PDF Expert for Mac. And the reason why, on my iPad, this app has been one of my favorite apps for as long as iPads have been out, because you can do so many things with a PDF here. Like, not just the reading and annotating, there's many apps that do that, but the way it merges files, the way you can do markup, the way that you can fill out forms. And they were one of the first, if I remember correctly, to even allow you to sign documents on your iPad. But they basically took that functionality and rewrote it for the Mac. And the one thing that it does different from just Preview or Adobe Acrobat or even PDF Pen is it is lightning fast at opening and manipulating PDFs. Like, you could open a 50-page PDF and it won't even take a second. It's pretty amazing how fast a PDF engine these guys were able to write. And so PDF Expert is brought to you by the kids at Readle. And it's, I don't remember what the price is. God, I want to call it $39 or $49. I guess I should have remembered that before I did this. But yeah, the app itself is amazing, and you can try it out for a couple of days to see how you like it. But
$59.99.
Cool. Wow. What was the number?
$60.
$60? Yeah, see, that's a smidgen of the Adobe version and about $40 cheaper than PDF Pen. So it, I would say if you need to do anything with PDFs, this is the way to go.
I think I don't want to, because this is clearly something that is very, very good at the nth degree of manipulation of PDFs. But I think there's a lot of people, I just want to say that there's a lot of people that probably do very simplistic things with PDFs. Don't forget Preview. Preview is your mate. Preview Absolutely. Does 28 different file image formats, just images, let alone all the other stuff that it can open. It can, I found out this week, it can open 3D printer files as well.
Yes, it can.
And it's just like,
that's crazy.
You know, so if you've got, if you want something specialist and you want something that's really, really good, pick DocsPick. But if you just want to be able to do something very simple with a PDF, there's a chance that Preview could do it for you. Don't underestimate your inbuilt apps ever.
And if, can I throw a plug in since you brought that up?
Go for it.
For a friend of mine, Victor Cahiao, I'm going to be here too, but you know, Mac Stock is coming up this summer. So if you're in the States and can get to Chicago in July, there's a conference called Mac Stock. I'm going to be presenting there, but Victor Cahiao is presenting Preview app there. So he's going to be covering this exact topic at Mac Stock.
I covered it in my talk at Macworld. Preview is massively powerful for imageries and all sorts of stuff. Don't underestimate it. I was gobsmacked today when I opened an SDL file and it by default by mistake. And check out as well MacStock. If you can get to MacStock, it's last year went really, really well for a first year. I wished I could have gone, and I want to go this year, but I'm not going to get a pass unless I'm speaking, which is ridiculous because I can't dictate that I'm going to speak. But I want to be there. I'm there in spirit with you. He needs to stream it.
They do release the videos. I think you can look at the videos from last year are online. So I don't know if they're going to actually live stream. But
I want a chat room where I can throw tomatoes at you, mate. Mike, what have you got for us, mate?
Well, aside from my frozen screen, so as mentioned, I did move house this month, and you get the opportunity to rethink your whole smart house technical setup configuration. And the pick is the Kevo lock, K-E-V-O, which is sold by two manufacturers in the States, Kwikset and Wiser. And I got the Kwikset model. The Kevo is the smart, I was looking for a smart lock. It was the one recommended by my buddies at the Wirecutter and by several other folks, Dave Zatz as well. Everybody, it was the consensus pick for everybody. It's pretty cool. It is a Bluetooth aware deadbolt. So when I approach my front door and tap on the deadbolt itself, it unlocks for me as long as I have my phone on my person, which is great and really easy. It also has sort of door side awareness. So if I'm on the other side of the door, it doesn't mean that somebody can come up and unlock it from the outside just because I'm in range. It comes with two e-keys and a fob and actually has physical keys as a backup, which is great.
Phew.
And nice. And you can get You can buy additional permanent e-keys. They're pretty cheap. I think they're like $1 or $2, but also you can distribute day passes essentially to your house. Mm-hmm. So for a dog walker or a cleaner or whomever, you can give it a temporary e-key. And they also, this natively out of the box, it is only Bluetooth, so it doesn't have any internet connectivity. You can get a home automation gateway for it as a separate Kibo Plus gateway. So that ties it to Wi-Fi. At that point, you can open the door from anywhere in the world. You can essentially digitally rekey the lock on the fly. So pretty cool. Kevo, K-E-V-O, and I think it's at mykevo.com. Worth checking out. And not that expensive. I think it was like, it was less than $200 for the lock, which is not bad at all.
Yeah. Excellent picks. I like the idea of that.
Me too. Mm-hmm.
There was a doorbell.
Sounds really good.
I went on Tech News Today on the Twitter Network a few weeks back, and they got a doorbell. I was like, tell them to send me a doorbell. I want to review this doorbell. Not another thing. Missing out massively. Tell them to send me a review, Nick, Mike. I want one.
I'll awesome. Take it up with them.
Yeah. Magic Man in the chat room, who's Martin, who's part of the London Mac user group, is reminding me here that there is also, of course, a special event for the WWDC keynote. We always have our event up here, but if you're not able to, or if you are around London, then go to the Elmug keynote. It'll be on their webpage, and just type in Elmug, and you'll find them straight away through Google. A great bunch of people. Go down there. There'll be loads of fun. If you're really missing us, you can still watch us on your iPhone. Don't worry about it. That'll be obsolete after the keynote's finished. And then you can meet all the other people down at Elmug. It's a great, great community. Really, really nice people. Apart from Martin, who's there. Michael, I'm going to eat some humble pie. Doc, go on.
Yeah, he had to leave, remember?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. Michael, I'm going to eat some humble pie here. Do you remember a few weeks ago I was telling you about in-app purchases, and I was pissed off that, you know, in-app purchases are like £79 for 10,000 gold.
Whatever
you get on purchase. Well, the one I was slagging off, the program I was slagging off, was called Tap Sports Baseball 2015. And I downloaded it, and I played a couple of innings, and you couldn't win anything. You couldn't hit anything. You couldn't get any homers or anything like that. I'm still pissed off at the fact that I had to buy a certain level, and I bought a $3.99 entry to get a draft pick that solved some of my problems. And then I started hitting home runs. And then I started making money. And then I started making gold. And I started working through it. And I bought a £10 add-on because I just felt like the developers deserved it, because actually it's a really good game and I really enjoyed it. And it's the game that has made me realize that, to a certain degree, that £79 purchase is actually to put you off completely blatting the game and winning before you even start, is the way it feels with them. And I've paid them £14 because I think the game's worth that. I've got some upgrades that are enough to make sure that I can at least compete with people. I get up in the morning. It's a perfect morning motion game. You can play an inning while you're on the bog. And what's really nice is you just say, I want to play a random game, and you play a random game against someone else in the world. And then as you win games and as you hit homers and as you get into the top, I'm in the top 6th percentile of home run hitters at the moment. You get more gold and you get more money, and actually I haven't spent any more and I'm not going to spend any more, and I'm progressing and I'm winning, and it's not stopping me from progressing because I haven't paid extra money. I have slagged these games off in the past, but actually this one, it does it very, very well, and I'm quite happy to have paid that money to them because it's a really nice and pleasant game. I like baseball. There you go. On the other hand, I went to the MLB application. They want £20 a month off me to watch baseball. Most of which goes on when I'm in bloody bed. So they've missed out there. Where can we get a hold of you, Patrice?
As always, on Twitter, although I'm not using it that much, at @casual_kitchen. And all the links and everything I do on thepatrice.com.
I've got a horrible feeling because I did this last week to Adam. We haven't had your pick, haven't we, Mike?
Yes,
yes,
we did.
We have.
Yes, we have.
Yeah.
It's the lock.
Yeah, the lock. I thought we had, but it's just like Adam had thrown me.
I made you nervous.
You made me nervous. I'd forgotten. Because I forgot Adam last week completely. But he did, to be fair, he did say he had a crap pick.
Yes.
This week's as well, maybe, mate.
No, this week's is good. It's fun.
This week is great.
I'm joking. Adam, where are you, sir?
You can find me at maccast.com or maccast on iTunes. Also, check out the iOS show at theiosshow.com. And on Twitter, it's just maccast.
Excellent, mate. Thank you. You can get Dot Rock at Dot Rock on Twitter and Instagram and in the Slack room with us and probably about everywhere else. There we go. And last but by no means least, Mike looking disinterested, T-Rose.
Can't help it. This is just the face. This is my resting and disinterested face. You can find me at Mike T. Rose on Twitter. You can also find me with the lovely and talented Kelly Guimont on our occasional podcast, The After Show. That's at aftershowpodcast.com and also at the_aftershow on Twitter. New show coming this week.
Excellent, mate. Lots of people Thanks. Have that disinterested look on this show as well. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can get Muller Biker and Mark on Twitter as well, at Muller Biker. Muller_Biker. Muller Biker. Just Muller Biker. And Mark is?
At Smark Culshaw.
At Smark Culshaw. There we go. Because he's different in the Slack room than you are on Twitter. That's what throws me. So I put Mark up all the time. We'll be back again next week as normal. I think we're still on Thursdays. We are planning to move to Fridays. But we're not doing it just yet. I think work's got to kind of work out. We've got to plan a little bit further ahead yet. Anyway, we'll sort it out. We'll let you know. Just check the calendar. We always keep that up to date. Ish.
Ish.
No, I'm pretty good, actually. I'm the one person that actually does do that. I don't keep my own calendar up to date, but I keep the one for BTN up pretty good. See you next week. Thanks for listening.